Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. I've got an excellent interview feature on tap for you this evening with Scotland Slam following the release of their latest album, Dark Channel. And we will get to that shortly, but first let's check out this episode's track of the week. Toronto's Hunter teams up with Adam Bayer. The release is Hypnotic.
Your body.
Okay, a great track of the week there. That was Hunter and Adam Bayer with Hypnotic, and that's out now on Drumcode and can be had wherever you buy your tracks. On to the feature for tonight's episode. Scotland Slam are techno royalty pure and simple. I was fortunate to be able to interview them a few weeks back ahead of the release of their album Dark Channel, out now on Soma. Here we discuss production of the album, the 80s, and the art of DJing as a duo. The interview is two parts. For the first part, I picked legacy tracks of theirs that I liked, and part two is all about Dark Channel. The lead track here is from their 2004 album Year Zero. It's Known Pleasures. Full track list and a selection of Slam web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's socials. The This is DJ Wah speaking to Stuart McMillan and Ord Meikle. Collectively, they are Slam and have been producing and DJing since the late 80s. Absolute legends of the scene with 30-plus years of DJing and production under their belt. Globally, they've gigged everywhere and hosted over 600 episodes of Slam Radio, as well as featuring on BBC's Essential Mix. With releases on Fabric, Swara, and Tool Room, they've clearly made their mark on the scene. Their iconic label Soma is celebrating its 34th anniversary this year. Their latest release is the album Dark Channel, which dropped on May 9th, and that's what we're here to talk about tonight. It's my pleasure to be speaking to them. This is Slam. Kicking things off here, how would you currently define your sound, and how would you say it's evolved or shifted over time?
Yeah, our sound is always reflecting what we play as DJs. Evolves slowly as, you know, our influences evolve. So it's pretty relentless, kind of dark, deep, kind of twisted techno, really.
Yeah.
But it definitely has evolved. It's got a lot darker, I guess, and it's got a lot more focused. I think we've got better at doing it after all this time, because, you know, you kind of been doing this for, you know, as you said, 30 plus years. You're going to definitely kind of hone in your skills. But I think for us, it's more about pushing, you know, when you become too comfortable with one thing or the other, it's about not making the process easier and sort of, I guess, making it harder and always trying to discover new ways of doing things. We'll be right back.
Okay, going back to the 80s in Glasgow, can you describe the vibrancy of the scene and who were the local DJs and events that pushed your lives in this direction?
Well, we were going to a place called Lucifer's, which became the Sub Club. And then we were kind of instrumental in the initial kind of, for want of a better word, the term, acid house explosion. So that happened around 1988. And it was like someone had just switched a light on. One minute there wasn't that, and the next minute the city and the UK in general was consumed by this new scene, which felt like a real revolution at the time. You know, all of a sudden people who never went to nightclubs went to nightclubs. So it was all consuming, and it was pretty special time. You know, I mean, when you think back in those times, when you're caught up in them, you don't think, oh wow, this is amazing. But you know, retrospectively, when you look back, you realize how much of a special time it was.
Okay, let's take a look at production in relation to your new album, Dark Channel. How do you approach completing a project like that over a 3-week period?
The weird and wonderful thing about music production is that sometimes you hit a path running and you roll with it, and you initially you write a bunch of ideas that all of a sudden seem to work together as a comprehensive piece of music. I mean, sometimes you know, it doesn't work like that, and sometimes it becomes a struggle. I think I can speak for you, Ord, as well, in saying this, that when it comes together as a body of work quite quickly, that's generally when you feel the best about the project. And this album was just a bunch of live jams that we did that we put together, and we were like, wow, these tracks really, really, really sit together really well. Yeah, we were lucky with that one. If it hadn't have been like that, then we would have been like, oh, we've got to go back in and
would have been 8 years until our new album.
Yeah, it would have been another 10 years. So I guess we were just kind of lucky with it. Music production's a really weird thing. It's like any other artistic form. Sometimes you just hit the nail on the head, and sometimes you don't. And I think with this one, we definitely did.
This is Apol.
This is Cardano.
This is Hengia.
This is Shane Patrick Riley.
Hey, this is Laidback Luke.
This is Nathan Barato, and you're listening to Techno Progressivo.
Okay, production notes mentioned that there was a modular synth and an Ableton push involved in this. Which one or either of you has a decent understanding of modular synthesis, and how did that all work?
I wouldn't say we had that great a grasp on them.
I would say neither.
You know, with the modular, like what I like about modular synth is there's just a fair amount of experimentation and plugging things in and putting things in different places and kind of seeing what works. I mean, a lot of what we do is definitely trial and error. You know, I mean, sometimes I feel being too much of an expert on something kind of makes you do things in a really sanitized way, if that makes sense.
We've always been advocators of the happy accident, you know.
Sure.
Quite often, you know, it's the sound that comes about when you're trying to find something else or trying to achieve something else and something, you know, the synth kind of throws something back at you that you weren't expecting is quite often, you know, the most enlightening.
Take, 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 take
Okay, let's jump over to your label here. Soma is hitting 34 years. At this stage, from an A&R standpoint, how do you think you've been able to maintain the quality and relevance of the label for that period of time?
There's a tough wall to get past because there's like four people do the A&R. So there's myself and Ord and Glenn, who's a label partner with us and one of the guys that works in the office, and he kind of filters out all the stuff and then presents it to us. We have an A&R meeting every Wednesday, 10 p.m. without fail. And, you know, the label's always been about kind of discovering and finding new music, but trying to present the best of that that's around. So, I mean, with Soma, it's become trusted because we've kind of done the work for people. We've tried to put out what we believe is the best music, you know, that's presented to us. We pick from the best music that's presented to us. So, it's a tough haul.
That's exactly it. It's the kind of democratic side of things that's always kept Soma kind of, you know, on its toes. And also the guiding ethos. You know what I mean? The label was never created as a commercial concern. It was always an artistic concern. It was always about trying to look over the brow of the hill, you know, always look ahead of ourselves and never become kind of stagnant or, you know, boxed into a particular genre. And I think that's always kind of stood us in good stead to always sound quite fresh.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
You are listening to the Slam Interview here on Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and the station is 101.9 CITR. That half of the interview wrapped up with their remix of Alan Fitzpatrick's You Got Me. Full track list and a selection of Slam web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's socials. Part 2 focuses solely on their Dark Channel album, which dropped earlier this month. The lead track here is Ghost Dancer. Let's move over to DJing here. online. I've seen a lot of different performance setups. What is the configuration you like best, and how did the two of you approach programming your sets?
I don't think that either one of us could do this with anyone else, because I think there's a certain amount of telepathy, if for want of a better term, that kind of goes on between us, because we've been playing together for so long. We kind of know where each other's going, if that makes sense. So we tend to just play
without knowing.
Yeah, we don't ever rehearse a set. Every set we do is always in the moment, on the fly. We might know a couple of tracks that go together well, but we don't ever rehearse a set with it, you know, per se. We don't go and say, well, it's going to start this way and end that way.
The three decks are always, you're using parts of different tracks on top of each other, and you're jumping around within tracks. So I've seen it overused quite a lot by kind of other performers, but it is kind of almost like kind of, you know, live remixing. You're never following usually the track just straight A to B.
And it's like what we tend to do is we'd run, my side is three decks, Ord's side is three turntables, and we'd run, but we run everything into the one mixer so we can share the same monitor feed, so that we don't have crazy different volumes and monitors or whatever, you know. So that really helps keep it together. Yeah, I love this. I love just turning up to a venue, usually 10 minutes before we play, and just going and feeling the crowd out, because I believe it's, you know, DJing has become perhaps less about that now. But I think for us, that is DJing. It's looking at the crowd, feeling where we should take things.
Okay, reflection time here. What do you think makes your set stand out?
No, we just always try and deliver, you know. We try and deliver within the constraints that we allow ourselves. You know, we don't often take the easy way out by playing really obvious records or really obvious moments. We do a lot of edits and bootlegs, or, you know, we do edits of old tracks. We remix tracks. It might be an older, well-known track that we've remixed to our format. So you're not going to hear those tracks in anyone else's set. Or so I guess that. Yeah, just playing things that other DJs don't play.
Okay, reflection time here. Along this entire journey, can the two of you think of one or two achievements that you're most proud of? Maybe tracks, gigs, anything along those lines. What's really stood out to you and why?
I don't know, or maybe you can answer this one.
Well, from the point of view of kind of gigs, we used to run a dance tent at a predominantly kind of rock-orientated festival in Scotland called Tea in the Park. It happened once a year in the summer, kind of north of the main population centre out in the countryside. And we were a singular dance tent off to the side of a kind of rock festival, and that ran for many years. I can't remember, into the high teens.
20, I think.
Nearly 20 years, yeah.
Yeah, 19, and, I think it ran for 19 years.
And just during that period, the size of the event and the budgets that were allowed just allowed us to bring through so many kind of, you know, really groundbreaking acts, you know, everyone from the Aphex Twin to Daft Punk to the Chemical Brothers to Jeff Mills to Laurent Garnier. It was a real pleasure to kind of program and present and always kind of keep fresh. Kind of from the point of view of a kind of promoting side, that was one of the major highlights.
Yeah, and I think there's been many highlights with the label. I mean, definitely discovering Daft Punk's early works and being responsible for that is quite crazy, because I mean, I guess they've become such a huge pop music phenomenon, you know. Yeah, that definitely. And, you know, still being here and still being relevant after all this time, you know, still getting to play in places like Burgoyne, or, you know, these things are are things that, you know, sometimes people could only dream of achieving. So, I mean, you know, we never really take this for granted.
With the gigs, it's really difficult because, you know, there's every so often a great gig will come along. Do you know what I mean? Something that really is just that little bit extra kind of special. So that's quite a kind of regular thing that happens, you know, with, you know, gigging. You know, it could be a basement in New York, or, you know, in somewhere in Tokyo, or, you know what I mean, even somewhere Madrid or something. So that kind of, you know, those special moments when you're DJing and everything just, you know, it goes really well, that's kind of quite a regular occurrence. So that idea of what's your favorite night you've ever done, it's always being updated.
What's up, fam? It's your boy Demir here, purveyor of all sounds underground.
Hey, this is Average Citizen.
This is Stun.
This is Footwork.
Hey, this is Dubfire, and you are listening to Techno Progressivo.
Okay, we've looked to the past, now let's look to the future. What do the two of you envision as uncharted territory, and where do you want to continue to take this as you go forward?
We won't know about it till tomorrow.
musically, yeah, definitely. I mean, we've done most of the things we wanted to do. I mean, with this album, it's, you know, people say, why did you do an album just full of that dance floor tracks? And it's, you know, it's because the simple short answer to that is because we've never done one. You know, we've always done, you know, things that have been a bit more varied, or they've been ambient albums, or, you know, but we just thought it'd be nice to do something like this. I mean, it's a good question. And I think just to concentrate on our vision of music is sort of kind of enough for us, if that makes any sense. You know, we're not continually, I'm not saying we're not ambitious, because I think we are ambitious, although we never really set out to do this as a quote unquote career per se. It was more of a kind of hobby that we enjoy doing and still do, you know. So Yeah, it's a good question. I'm going to get back to you on that one.
many of these future kind of, you know, projects will they'll come about kind of naturally in the future. It's we're not ones for kind of sitting here and saying, right, well, you know, in 8 months we'll do something like this, and you know, 12 months we'll go and we'll try this. It's far more organic than that. You know, it just kind of happens.
Okay, and then last question for you here, is there anything that you'd like to promote right now?
Yeah, we got the new album, Dark Channel, which has had such amazing feedback from a lot of our contemporaries and DJs, you know, like from older DJs like Ben Sims to, you know, guys like Dax J, Annie, you know, just amazing feedback. Yeah, we couldn't be happier with that. So that's coming out next Friday. Vinyl came in yesterday, so we're super excited about that. I mean, some of these things, this is what I love about the album process, because you live with it for so long that nobody knows what it sounds like, and it doesn't become real till the week of the release, and then we start doing interviews and blah blah blah, and so it all becomes real, and it all becomes exciting just at that moment. So yeah, we're in a good place just now, and we're looking forward to unleashing that to the world. We'll be right back.
This has been Slam. A selection of their tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Spotify, Juno Download, and Bandcamp. As well, a full list of their web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's socials. Remember to check out their album Dark Channel, dropping on May 9th on Soma and available wherever you buy your tracks. Thank you both for doing this.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Slam for agreeing to interview. It was a pleasure, and this was definitely another bucket list interview for me. That segment finished off with Irregular Object, Techno in Spades. Full track list and a selection of Slam web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's socials. This is unique underground music. I would encourage you to head over there to find out more about the minds behind the music. If you like what you heard, remember to check out their album Dark Channel, out now on Soma, and available wherever you buy your tracks. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at CITR.ca or Apple Podcasts to give this one another spin, or to hear more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's track from the past. For this one, let's go local. Let's hop back 15 years in time to 2010. It's Max Graham. The track is Dusky 2010. Enjoy it, and I will see you back here next time.